He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough.
I see weeds when I'm walking. And I think, I don't like those plants. They don't look like the ones that I curated and put in the garden. And then when it comes to the spring and the summer, all of a sudden these weeds start to flower. And our built environment becomes wonderfully lit up with colour. I didn't see the wonders of those weeds. I just saw something that was in my way. That is a first, very small sermon. But that's one way of seeing the things we don't see. So if you'd like to decorate a pot, adults, you can do it as well while you listen, if it helps you. I don't mind. But they have some acrylic pens and some pots there, and we have some seeds for the end to put in those pots. So maybe something might grow in that place. So we had a reading which talks about the kingdom of God. You've probably heard that reading so many times. I was with a friend recently, and we were talking about life, and he said to me, "You know what, Chris, I need some freedom money." He didn't say freedom, but the term, you can ask me later the term he actually used. But freedom money was the thing that he said. "I need the sort of cash that makes my life easy, means I can say no when I'm asked to do things. I don't have to worry about life at all. I just need that freedom money." That freedom money would sort out child support, housing, finding a partner. He just wanted that security that finance and wealth brings. The sort of stuff you see on Instagram, on TikTok, when they're telling you to do a second job or to invest so that you'll make enough money on the side from your side hustle so you don't have to work anymore. It's interesting how it always comes up when I'm worried about my finances or my algorithm. When I am wondering how I'm going to pay for my daughter's university or anything else that may come up, a bill that is just a worry or whatever it is, supporting my parents as they age or people back home. So it's funny, this thing, and I struggled to find the words to say what I felt to my friend. I kind of understood what he was saying. We were raised in a similar environment. He had suffered, his caregivers never being stable financially, but he's the success story. He's earning currently more than I've ever earned in my life. But still he felt he needed freedom money. That was shocking to me. Now, I understood what he was saying, and I didn't have the words to kind of say, but oh no, God, the kingdom of God, you know. Because what would that have done? Even if I didn't agree with what he was saying about money, I did understand why he was saying it. And the only problem I had was his diagnosis of a cure. But my problem is the simple answer of quoting scripture at him, lifted out and given as if it is some way will feed him, doesn't work. It never has. I call it the Doc Cotton effect. If you've ever watched EastEnders, Doc Cotton often quotes scriptures out of place at people while she's drinking a sherry in the pub. It doesn't quite work. Should I say to my friend, don't worry about that. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's like a mustard seed that will become a mighty tree. Well, you know what? Don't worry. God's kingdom is like yeast mixed into dough, hidden, but you know it will rise. It will mean nothing to him if I say that. He might say to me, firstly, probably say, Chris, what are you talking about? We're in the Fox and Firkin, what are you doing? But he may, you know, probably just dismiss me, but then he might say, why should I care about the kingdom of God? It's nothing to do with me. I don't believe that stuff. And if Jesus, this guy, talked about God's kingdom being near, why doesn't it feel like God's in charge? You might say to me, we have the progression of human history, of science and medicine. Why do we need the kingdom of God you speak about? And I'd say, fair enough, and carry on. I believe what I believe, he believes what he believes. We love each other, we've been friends for 20 odd years. Actually, 40 odd years. I'm just getting older. Let him be. But as I know there's more to this, and I'll tell you why. My long journey with my friends, most of whom do not have a faith that they can articulate, has taught me they know more than the simple binary in-out of are you a Christian or not. When I said to this group of friends, I'm going through the selection process to become a priest, I thought they would tease me. And they did. But they also said, yeah, we can see that. Definitely. I think it's exactly what you should be doing. I thought, you haven't been to church in your life. I think the last time you went to church was my wedding. How do you know what a priest does? And they could articulate what they felt and thought a priest was in a way that captured something in me. They confirmed in me what I'd already been having God speak to me about. More so than the church, actually. Because in the church, everyone says, yes, you should be a priest. And I thought, yeah, well, of course they're going to say that, because everyone wants a priest. They encouraged me and laid seeds in me and helped me grow. And now I'm here. And you stuck with me because I'm the vicar. But you did ask me to stay, so I'll put it out there. It's not all of you, obviously, but some people did. So it's their fault, and you can talk to them. But I remember when I finally understood this parish. As a youth worker, I was covering in Sydney on a housing estate that my friends ran a project on, and I love to get places early and sit and just watch, because it makes me feel less anxious. So I went there, and I'm sitting on a wall on this housing estate, which I know quite well, having grown up locally. And I watched, and I watched. And this was in 2010, and I don't know if you know the context, the summer of 2010, but the newspapers were totting up every knife crime, murder that was happening in the capital, one by one, every day. It would be like a big thing on the front pages of the Metro and the other papers, and it go up by however many murders had happened in the capital. And they were linking that to race, they were linking that to delinquency and bad parenting. And they were linking it to being working class, if I'm honest. And as I sat there, I saw a young man, he just so happened to be black, hooded up, full tracksuit, and he ran it. It's the summer, full tracksuit. Why? It always gets me. Gets me wearing this, to be honest. And he ran into the estate, and ran, I could watch him through the stairwells as I sat on the wall. And he ran into one house, and he came out. And then he ran down the walkway to the end of the walkway, and he knocked on the door, and an old lady came out, a little white lady. She looked really infirm. Was feeling, it looked really ill. And I could hear the conversation, because it was quite quiet. And they were sitting there, and I could just hear what this young black man was saying to this little lady. He said, here's your food. I'm sorry I didn't come earlier. I was in the gym. He said, I'll put some extra stuff at the bottom for you. And he said, I've got to do some work tomorrow, but I'll come later. And I sat there thinking, I wish the papers would be this tomorrow. It would publish this picture of the council estate. Youth cares for elderly residents with love, despite the challenges of poor housing, normalised crime and job insecurity. That would be an amazing headline for me. But that didn't happen. But instead, I turned to this parable and I saw the counter-narrative Jesus was using to show the way. The kingdom of God was in my friends planting seeds in me that allowed me to cast out doubts of doing this. And it was in the interactions, intergenerational, healing, caring, community building, powerful in its quietness, that happened between those two people. That is the mustard seed and the yeast in action. That is the kingdom of God bursting forth in our lives. That is our communities transformed by the real presence of God. Parables, as we'll find out in September, as we do an elongated series on parables, talking about them in a bit more depth, have so much to go in. I could spend hours just teaching about how we read parables. And learning as well, because I learn something new every time I open them. The thing though is, Jesus uses parables because they both conceal and reveal what he's saying. If your heart is open to them, they open up an expansive reality. But if you're not open to them, you shut them down because they're just stories. It's indirect communication that challenges current social norms without being affronted with something that automatically makes you stop and say, oh, no, I don't like that, because it comes from the side. He's talking about this Jesus, the real now 2,000 years ago, the now that feels like a not yet for us now, and the future now, which sees the fulfillment of all that God has set in place. I think, though, we're always surprised by God's kingdom because it doesn't come with freedom money. It doesn't allow us the ability to care less about this reality. It doesn't say, you know what, you've got enough that you don't have to think about anything else. In fact, it does the opposite. It gives you so much that you have to care about everything else. The reality is, God's presence is surprising. It is hidden unless you train yourself. And I think that's what church is. We're training to see where these little acts, this kingdom is breaking forward, breaking forth. Do we train well enough? Maybe not. I'm not an Olympic athlete. I wouldn't know. But we do have to train ourselves to see God's kingdom at work, because it's so different. It's so countercultural. Without being able to notice, how will we ever understand God's upside-down value system, which talks of forgiveness, renegotiation of the ideas of wealth and power, which sets captives free, puts widows in families, cares for the orphan and the destitute, heals the sick and comforts those who mourn, and brings sight to the blind. I picked that last one, sight to the blind, because it's pertinent to me. Some of you know, some of you don't know, but since I was 13, I was diagnosed with a degenerative condition, which meant I was going blind. I almost lost my sight completely by 21. I did my finals for my degree holding the paper in the exam room up to my face so I could see the words. I struggled immensely, but I didn't know I was struggling because it happened so slowly. I'm so thankful for the treatments I've had under the NHS that I can see today using contact lenses and operations and all sorts of things. But I remember praying for healing in my teens and my 20s and experiencing, we always say God talking to us, but it wasn't that, it was a feeling. It's a niggle in the back of my head. God said to me something about the fact I should paint. I'm an artist. I tried to be. I should paint with my vision as it is. That creativity that comes from being yourself. I still haven't done that because I struggle so much with not being able to see. But also, God spoke to me about this idea that seeing is more than the vision that you have. Seeing is being able to spot the things that nobody else spots. Nobody knows that I'm differently abled most of the time. I've spoken a lot about having ADHD and dyslexia, being neurodivergent. It just is who I am. Nobody knows most of the time that I struggle to see. It's why I can't drive. But I know that the simple answer of just healing my sight, even though I know God can do it, isn't what I was supposed to do. I know that for me, not for everyone, for me, has given me an insight into a world that I don't normally inhabit because I'm treated as able-bodied completely. And that's fine, because that's what I want. I want to be able-bodied. But that's the upside-down kingdom, that we see the things that others don't see, that we're trained to see God's kingdom breaking forward, that we see the yeastiness, we see the mustard seed of the kingdom, and we get excited by it, and we go towards it, and we might pull so that we can see the unseeable. And we might get involved with what it is, because we've been pulled into it, because we've trained ourselves to see what God's showing us in God's kingdom. And that's, as a church, what I want for us all. That we train ourselves to see what God is doing. We come on Sunday, we support each other, we build trust and relationship, and we care and look after ourselves as a community. But that is to facilitate us being able to see what God is doing outside of this building, in our networked lives that we do all the time. That we then participate in the bringing of the kingdom of God. But also, it's there already, and we can walk into it. It's happening now, and not yet. But we get to participate, because God's called us into that space.